Well, it's, you know, happy Columbus Day. Although Columbus Day has devolved into Attack America Day. But, you know, some of us can wish you good Columbus Day. Right now in the United States, which seems to be every day, except when Joe Biden was in office, right? Every day, except when Joe Biden was in office, we have seen various cities in the nation terrorized by Antifa militants. While we're told that Antifa is not really a thing, they attack cops and they throw Molotov cocktails and they set streets on fire and they break shop windows, they vandalize cars. They hurt a lot of innocent people, which is astonishing that they can do all of these physical things without actually being a thing. They use the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police as an excuse for mayhem. They tried to destabilize Trump's first administration. They tried to intimidate you. And, you know, some of the people that they tried to intimidate, some of them thought that if they voted out Trump, the pain would stop. Which, nobody voted out Trump. The election was stolen, but, you know, still, in one sense, they were right. Now, store owners in Madison Avenue, or on Madison Avenue, boarded up their windows before the 2020 election in preparation for another bout of violence if Trump won. But then Joe Biden was installed. Let the sweetness begin. You see, the price of peace is giving the left everything they want. But everything they want leads to the destruction of the company of this country. And Biden was very happy, to oblige. He enabled an invasion of between 10 and 20 million illegal aliens, a disproportionate number of whom seem to be criminals and gangbangers and child molesters. But now Trump's in charge again and the calm is over. Because this means Antifa is back. And this time, their target is Immigration and Customs Enforcement and all the federal agents trying to undo Biden's border crimes by searching out and deporting illegal criminal aliens. This is all a very dangerous undertaking, but it has to be done if the rule of law means anything. So the Democrats, because this is what they do, this is how they operate, the Democrats have gotten out there and placed themselves this is what they do. They're on the wrong side of public opinion. And with that comes all the lies and the gaslighting, which don't seem to be working. And Trump, 2.0, has designated the Antifa as a terrorist organization. Now, this means not just arresting the Black Bloc militants and their zombie comrades. It also means going after their sources of funding. Now, there was a confab Wednesday, and we heard their agitators, anarchists, and they're paid. They are paid anarchists. And the president then foreshadowed a crackdown on the people who fund Antifa, including potentially some of the unnamed wealthy people with whom he has had dinner. And I don't think he never not suspected that. But he said, we're going after Antifa criminals and all who fund and support their campaigns. They are in serious trouble, and we have a lot of records already, a lot of surprises, a lot of bad surprises. People that you would never think, people, probably some of the people I know, some of the people I dine with. Noam paid tribute to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. Now, the Treasury Secretary has been working quietly, looking into their funding networks. It's interesting that this has been going on in the background. His office on Wednesday refused to comment on what he has discovered, but Trump is promising that they're going to do a big reveal. And I guess it would be a relief to find out who's been funding these violent groups that appear, to, for all the world, to be the Dem Street Militia. But this would explain years of Democrats gaslighting us and Democratic governors and mayors covering for Antifa. And I guess right now, the, Portland and Chicago, they're turning out to be the centers of all of this. J.B. Pritzker, Brandon Johnson, they are endangering the lives of ICE and Border Patrol personnel by calling them Nazis and withholding police support even as gang members place bounties on the heads of the federal agents. They have created a permission structure for Antifa, and the drug addicts and the homeless crazies and the disaffected loners who they've coerced to join them. Which, when you think about this, this is them. They're using the drug addicts and the homeless crazies and the disaffected loners in the same way Burt Reynolds was, running Smokey the Bandit. He's running block for Jerry Reed. He's distracting. They're trying to distract ICE and the FBI and all these from these people. And in the interim, in these blue hellscapes, they are ordering their cops to stand down, which is the specialty in the post-George Floyd police in blue cities. In Chicago and Portland, the cops have been neutered. Which brings us to the interesting case of Nick Sorter, one of the citizen journalists. He was caught up in a push-pull, and he finally pushed the guy away. And then he got arrested. He got arrested because the police in Portland are in bed with the anarchists. But the problem was he had a camera. So he posted the footage, and he shows Portland police allowing militants to shut down streets and direct traffic around the ICE facility while a local restaurant manager begs cops to let his customers pass. They said this is their event. That's the way they say it. It's their event. Now, this network is protecting MS-13, TDA, ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas. They're is equally sophisticated, and they're just as dangerous. And the lines have been drawn. And now everybody gets to pick a side. Isn't that lovely? Yeah. Problem, though, Antifa did what Yamamoto feared the worst. They have woken the sleeping giant. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Simpsonville. Yes, sir.
What's up, my brother? What a blessed day to live in the United States of America. I want to thank Trump for bringing peace to the world, and he needs to take care of what's moving its way over here among us, because it's not looking good. You know what I'm saying? We got people in our government, but I think he's leaving the government shut down so we can see the true colors of the Democrats. And I don't think they really care about our country.
Well, I mean, he's not leaving the government shut down. I mean, they have to have the money that they're looking to spend. They've already got. All they're looking for is a renewal of authorization. It's a clean continuing resolution. It's one the Democrats voted for 13 other times, now they're not doing it because they want a reversal of some of the where they defunded NPR and PBS. And so he's not the one leaving it closed. All he's doing is saying, "Hey, well, this is your process. Okay, I hope you enjoy it. We're playing by your rules. Guess what you own."
But I do want to thank him for making sure the military is getting their paychecks, because if anybody deserves it, they do. And I just want to let you know what we've been seeing on TV with these people coming home to their families is in Israel is just tear-jerking. It's really a good thing.
It took a little too long.
Yeah, it did. But, it happened. It got done. And nobody else, Joe Biden, wouldn't have done it. Oh, no.
Well, I mean, what Joe Biden was trying to do, see, if I were BB Netanyahu, I would have gotten on TV and I would have looked at everybody out there and I would have said to all of you that have a loved one that has been taken hostage, I want you to understand that we believe they're going to die. And the only thing we can try to do is go get them right now.
Yep.
And then I would have gone and tried to get them right now. And that would have meant, they were, the key to that is always moving them around. It's hard to track people. It's very hard to track individuals. And they had a lot of help from the Gazans and UNRWA and some other places that were going to help them. And I would have gone and gotten them, and I would have,
they used a lot of tunnels, miles of tunnels.
Sure. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I want to know, why are they letting all the Palestine people come back to their homes, knowing good and well that Hamas ain't going to give up their weapons, and they're going to have to go in there and clean them out? Why are they letting the citizens come back to get in the way of that? I don't understand that. If they're going to take care of it, you know what I mean?
Well, do you want me to be cynical about this?
Talk to me.
Okay. So, I see, they were already under a treaty October 7th. Mm-hmm. They were already under a treaty when that happened. So, they were on a ceasefire and everything else, and Hamas is not going to hold. They're not going to stay true to this. Although Hamas now, for the most part, is completely isolated because Iran is sort of subjugated and Hezbollah is sort of isolated. All the Houthis are sort of isolated and they're negated and everything else. So I think they did it so that when they come back and break this next one, they can go in there and they can go scorched earth.
Well, too, I think now that they've seen Trump did what he did to Iran, they know Trump ain't playing, so I think they need to just skedaddle, get on up out of there, and let them people straighten their country back out. I think that's what they need to do.
Yeah, but, the Gazans voted in Hamas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they did. Yeah, they understand that.
They voted them in, and Hamas doesn't treat them very well, but they seem to back them. So.
No, and they're taking all the food we're sending them and confiscating it, and everything. That's not looking out for your own people, for real.
Nope. They're as Trump would say, they're bad people and they deserve everything they're going to get.
Well, man, but I really enjoyed talking to you today, and I hope you have a great week.
Well, thank you, sir. I do appreciate that.
All right, my brother. Thanks for talking to me. Bye.
Yeah, I don't think I'm glad. Trump is not a big combat guy. He doesn't like to see people die. He thinks war is stupid. War is a breakdown of diplomacy. It is what you get when you can no longer work with somebody. You can't talk with them anymore. Every avenue has been tried and none of it worked. Or sometimes it's an attack like Pearl Harbor, like 9/11, like October 7th. Sometimes it's an attack. And trusting an Islamic group, an Islamic fundamentalist group that are terrorists and that are, they think of themselves as freedom fighters, this is just their time to take to reconstitute. Now, I know there's a lot of caveats about they're going to be occupied by the IDF and a few other things that are going to go along with this. But and we'll see how far it goes. But, you know, at the moment, while this is Trump being Trump, because Trump doesn't like people dying. And that's great. He is a compassionate president. I like the way he does operate. He does very decisive things. When you're dealing with Islamic fundamentalists, I don't think there's a way to reason with them. So, we'll see what we get out of this. I'm not holding my breath on this one. Now, I have an interesting text here about how do we know that their voting system isn't bad like ours when where cheating happens and allows Hamas to win these elections. I don't know either. I do know that across the Arabic world, they celebrate every time a big attack is held down. And it's not just the Ayatollahs and the Osamas and all the other ones. It's the people in the street. They dance in the street. They were dancing in the street all over the world when the Twin Trade Centers came down. So while you may have your primary bad guys that are out there, the rank and file likes it all an awful bunch when the infidel tastes blood. They like it a lot. And I don't know. As far as the election is concerned, I guess it all depends on who was doing the tallying. Oh, I'm being asked about this. Okay, so let's talk about this. I haven't really mentioned it. On the 16th, which is Thursday, I think, I am going to be at the Duncan Event Center. Joey and I are going to be there. And we're going to be moderating the 12th Circuit Senate debate. Lee Bright, a couple of other people, they're going to be there. This is going to be this is one of the seats that I think, what was that guy's name, McNutt or whatever his name was, he walked away from it. So it's open. There's also a House seat, Bobby Cox's, and that's open. But we're going to be there, and this begins, I think, when does it begin? This starts at 6:45, October 16th, Duncan Event Center, 121 South Spencer Street in Duncan, South Carolina. And Joey and I will be there doing what we can. Somebody says I'm reffing it. I don't know if I'd be refereeing. I'm not the only referee there. But that's inbound. We'll go back. We'll revisit the whole sleeping giant maybe later on. Instead of doing that, let's look at what's happening to the Democrats at large, because right now they're in their own self-contained demolition derby. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. as we continue on with the shutdown, one thing is very clear. Trump is not going to allow the Democrats to wedge you into humiliation or moral collapse. He's going to stay on the hammer with this one. He's going to let everybody know what's going on. And we know that the Democrats didn't just trip up and fall into this. They planned it. Chuckie Schumer got out there and he admitted, we prepared for this. They wanted to use health care subsidies and ideological bargaining chips as a bludgeon and beat us into this. And Trump has struck back, refusing to let his political opponents have the sole power to define the stakes. This refusal has crystallized because the president, this is a brilliant move, has authorized and directed Hegseth to use all available funds to ensure the troops get paid on October the 15th, whether or not Congress passes a full funding bill. And this does more than pay the troops. It robs Democrats of their ability to stand on a battlefield of their own choosing. Because he just took away one of their points. They can no longer openly defend withholding pay from the military. Public opinion throughout the shutdown has leaned toward assigning responsibility, and it's not falling cleanly on the Republicans, but the shifting center is revealing the vulnerability of the Democratic position. Now, here we go into the polls, and this is where we could sit back and go, oh, the media's working again, because according to, or maybe it's just a lying poll, I don't know. This is why I never believe polls. Even when they're good, I never believe them. I mean, sometimes when they're good, I'll be sit back, oh, that's nice. But anyway, a Reuters Ipsos poll found that 67% of Americans assign a fair amount of blame to Republicans. 63% say the same about Democrats. And another 63% say Trump shares the blame. None of this is on Trump at all. None of this is on Trump at all. This was a procedural thing done in the House. They passed it, sent it out. And then it was a procedural thing sent to the Senate. It has happened 13 other times, and it's been done. And it's been done with Biden as president as well. So it has nothing to do with who's the president, which is, this is where you look at the fake stream media and you say, oh, okay, I see where they're working. And right now, a Washington Post poll showed 47% blame Trump and Republicans, 30% blaming Democrats. But while you got many blaming both sides, the president's tactical move to protect military pay derails whatever attempt the Democrats might have had to define the terms. And the optics are simply this. The president is acting, and Democrats are left defending abstention, delay, and brinksmanship. Them getting out there and wanting a promise of $1.5 trillion, they may as well be saying, and we want there to be unicorns, and we want there to be good wishes and tidings amongst all men. You know, it's not a serious demand that they're making. And it's never been about them trying to compromise either. They wanted to leverage. And they wanted to leverage this required crisis. They, according to Schumer, they planned the shutdown around health care and subsidy demands. They constructed a scenario where they would appear magnanimous if Republicans conceded or victorious if they held firm. But there's a lot of contradiction in this. They had to defend not paying our troops if the shutdown dragged on, which was a losing moral position. They implicitly defend lawlessness. They pretend that the law can or crime can be ignored or subordinated to political theater. They insist on prioritizing illegal immigrant health care over that of American citizens, which is a very dangerous posture in a time of domestic strain. And they're willing to inflict all of this economic and social harm on you to uphold their ideological demand. And even before the shutdown, the mood was against it. The Republicans opposed it. The independents leaned against it. And even half the Democrats didn't want it. But it was the Democratic leadership that forged ahead. They bet that Americans would blame Trump and that chaos would produce political advantage. And that the press would carry their water. But this decision to fund the troops completely undercuts their position. And you can't, they were going to hold the military hostage, but they can't. So now the moral balance shifts and the contrast is really stark. But Trump also, he's showing something that a lot of people forget in these instances. Governing is a lot more than a posturing or trying to build for an optic. It demands a willingness to fight and to draw lines and to refuse to be cornered. And he wakes up every morning with a mission, which is to protect you and to repel ideological extremism. When they tried to make the military a bargaining chip, he pays them anyway. When they try to frame a shutdown as unavoidable, he exposes their choice. When they whisper the language of chaos, he shouts the language of order. So now we have to ask, do Democrats genuinely not understand how much they've hurt themselves, or do they just not even care? Is this nihilism? You know, the idea that collapse is leverage and chaos is a pathway to power? Problem is, most of us don't reward that. We recoil from it. But now we've seen the Democrat playbook. It's been exposed. We've seen the chapters, all that other stuff. And if voters are wise, and a lot were last in 2024, and they will be again, they'll see the contrast for what it is. The Democrats are reckless. They're willing to collapse governance in exchange for advantage and control. And Trump's just standing there. He's just demolishing them politically. And he does it morally, he does it strategically, and he does it rhetorically, one move at a time. There's no way to go against him because he's always thinking that far ahead. Apparently, in New York, you can go and you can get a commercial driver's license. And when they ask you what your name is, you can say, no name given, and they'll put that on the license. This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD. Well, ICE in Oklahoma, they caught an illegal, and he had a New York commercial driver's license, and the name on the license was no name given. So ICE, working with the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, arrested the Indian national Anmal. During a routine inspection at a truck scale. Anmal, entered the country illegally in 2023 and was released into the U.S. by the Biden administration. I guess he got parole. And so we get this from DHS Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin. She said New York is not only failing to check if applicants applying to drive 18-wheelers are U.S. citizens, they're even failing to obtain the full legal names of individuals they are issuing commercial driver's licenses to. Allowing illegal aliens to obtain commercial driver's licenses to operate 18-wheelers and transport hazardous materials on America's roads is reckless and incredibly dangerous to public safety. But thanks to the successful 287G partnership of ICE and the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, AnMol is no longer posing a threat to drivers. That'd be really confusing, wouldn't it? Pulling the guy over. What's your name, son? AnMol. Last name, AnMol. She continues. DHS is working with our state and local partners to get illegal alien truck drivers who often don't know basic traffic laws off the highways. Now, see, the reason I think they do these things is this is so they can project their leftist policies throughout the rest of the world. Throughout the rest of the United States, at least, right? Now, an official with the New York Department of Motor Vehicles contested the license holder's illegal status, telling Fox News Digital that the individual holding the license has lawful status in the U.S. through a federal employment authorization issued in March and was issued a license consistent with federal guidelines. And they continued, this commercial driver's license was issued in accordance with all proper procedures, including the verification of an individual's identity through federally issued documentation. It is not uncommon for individuals from other countries to have only one name. Is it common for you to issue these things without, again, you know, no name given, though? Which is exactly what they did. No name given. In response, McLaughlin told Fox News Digital that the Biden administration gave this illegal alien work authorization in 2023, and work authorization does not give anyone lawful immigration status. Why would a media outlet go to a place where they've issued a license and the name on the license is no name given and get out there and listen to what they had to say, no matter what they had to say about anything? And can we see a copy of his written test? Can we see a copy of his driving test? Can we see that? Can we see his logbooks? Can we see, can he do us on a walk around the vehicle? See, the thing about, you know, we see these truck drivers and we're like, yeah, those guys, they're living the life, aren't they, on the big rig? Yeah. Every time those guys take off, they have to walk around and inspect a dizzying array of items for the pre-trip. Then they have to keep a logbook of when they start and when they stop. And the logbook, if you exceed your time on the road with the logbook, or if you falsify your time on the road with the logbook, well, then you're in a heap of trouble, son. And I'd just like to see what AnMol, what his paperwork looked like. If he's been driving since 2023 and he only just got caught here recently, surely we have some stuff that he's done. So McLaughlin said the state of New York needs to stop trying to pass the buck and admit that they need to have stricter standards for issuing a commercial driver's license. They're putting the safety of all American drivers at risk. And then they shared a picture of the driver's license. There it is. AnMol, no name given, limited term CDL, which I don't see any. Boy, those things look a lot different than when I got mine in the 1990s. AnMol, no name given. But surely he knows what the signs are and are the all the rules, right? Not like Harjinder Singh, the 28-year-old Indian national who got a CDL in California despite his illegal immigration status, who then did a, you know, unauthorized U-turn, stopping while people behind him were basically, you know, 80 mile per hour to, you know, torpedoes coming his way. And sure to shooting. One of them drove right up under him, killed everybody on it. There was another incident from June that left a 5-year-old girl severely injured after a criminal illegal alien driving an 18-wheeler with a California-issued CDL caused a multi-car wreck. Now, Sean Duffy in the Transportation Department has taken action to restrict who is eligible for a non-domiciled commercial learner's permit and CDL, which, you know, on the text line, Bill, I can't get a CDL that easy. I know, because I've had to get a CDL, and I didn't get the, I must have had the Class B. I didn't have tractor trailer. I had a straight truck with air brakes. I had the air brake endorsement. For everything you pull, though, you have to have an endorsement for that. For everything you pull. So, you know, with a CDL, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing here. But they're projecting their own ineptitude here to us, and we get to catch it all. Which sort of reminds me of that etching on one of the rounds that they shot at Charlie, or the round that shot at Charlie Kirk, where it said, "Here, fascist, catch." It's sort of the same thing, isn't it? One thing that is for sure, the way this government is supposed to be working on a daily basis, bureaucrats are not the president. This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD.